All right, well, welcome everybody. I'm very excited about today's message. For 2 weeks, we're going to talk about the God of the Bible. And a couple simple things that sometimes we skip over. We're going to talk about next week the Spirit of God and that He's with us. But today we're going to talk about the deity of Christ. Now, what I mean by the deity of Christ is that the Bible teaches that Jesus is God. And it's important for Christians to know that because the Bible teaches that. Now, sometimes it can be difficult to understand, okay? But I also don't understand creation, right? I don't understand it, but it's clear in the Scripture. And so the Scripture is clear that it teaches that God is one God who exists in three persons. It's clear in the text, but we have to go get it. We have to read it. We have to seek God out this way to be able to see what the Bible says about that. And so I would encourage you that this isn't about salvation. Salvation is a gift that God gives to us. But to learn these things about God, we have to go get it. We have to read the Word and seek God and then learn. We had some friends over a couple weeks ago, and we realized just about 10 minutes before they got there that we didn't have enough forks, right? Now, this would normally be a problem, okay, but it was a bigger problem because that wasn't the real issue. The real issue was that we'd known this for 2 months, right? It's not hard to get forks. They're not expensive, but you have to go get them, right? Now, probably when I preach my next message, we still won't have the forks then because it's not on our priority list. So to learn these things about God, it's kind of the same. Like, if we want to learn these things about God, we have to seek God. We have to make the effort to learn His Word. And so today I want to just start by teaching us some things about the Bible, showing them to you in a quick manner, just to skim over. But some verses in the Old Testament and the New Testament and how they parallel, how they work together to teach us this about God, that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity and He Himself is God. So here's the first thing in your bulletin is that God is one. Now we all, if we've read the Old Testament, the books of Moses, the first five books, we know that, we understand this, but here's a verse that reminds us of that. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." If you look at 1 Corinthians, the context here of the verse in your bulletin is about food that had been offered to idols, so it doesn't really make sense to us necessarily in our culture, but that's what this was about. It was about food that had been offered to idols, and it says this in verse 6, "There is one God," and this is New Testament, "There is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all who are all things and through whom we exist." So, the same God, one God, different persons. So, Jesus is not the Father, okay? They're both God. That's what the Bible teaches. Again, it's clear in the text, can be difficult to understand. Here's another Old Testament, New Testament verse, Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God." Or it would say in Isaiah 43:10, God doesn't even know of any other gods. There was none before Him, none after. Anything else is an idol, a false god. Now, if you jump to the New Testament again, this is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. Jesus said this, "Fear not, I am the first and I am the last." Now, what He's referencing here is the first and the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. He's saying, "I am the beginning," right? "I am the beginning and the end." Now, somebody could have came after and said that after the Old Testament, but what solidified it was the resurrection. It was the resurrection that made all this confirmed and make sense. Or in John chapter 2, when Jesus told, and it's not in your bulletin, but when He told the religious leaders, "Tear down this temple," and He said, "I will raise it back up." So the first thing I want us to understand today is that God is one. We're not talking about different gods. We're talking about one God who exists in three different persons. Now the second thing is this, and we started with this thought, is that Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity. Now, some would claim that the Bible doesn't say anywhere that Jesus said, "I am God." But I would disagree with that, and Christians across the board really would disagree with that, because if you look at some texts, like in John chapter 8, when Jesus was talking to the religious leaders again there, and he said, before Abraham was, I am. They knew this. They knew that Jesus claimed this. And in fact, that's why they said blasphemy, and that's why they crucified him. So they, if anyone understood this, it was them. And that's what he said, before Abraham, or before Moses was, or before Abraham was, I am. I think he said it in both, in two different places. Right? And so he was claiming deity. Now, I want to show you my favorite parallel here. And if you're into apologetics, you'll love this connection. But this is just another verse that shows us, right, exactly what we're talking about that's clear in the text. So here we go. Psalm 102, this is about God. This is the Old Testament. And it says, in the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. We understand that about God, right? We understand that about the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, and this is just kind of compressed together for the sake of time, but it says, about the Son, he says, who's the Son? The Son is Jesus. About the Son, he says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. See, it's right there in the text. We just have to go and read it and seek God out, and we can see these things clearly in the Bible. Or John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word there is the word logos. It's talking about the divine person of Jesus. Right? In the beginning was Jesus. And you could just insert that there. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. That's what the Bible teaches. Here's another passage, and then we'll get to what I really want to say to us today. But let's get into Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 and 20. It says this about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Now, some that are not Christians may argue that Jesus is a created being. It says there that he's the firstborn person, right? He was the first one. That's not what this means. The word there is prototokos. It means preeminent. He's highest in rank. It says the same thing in the Old Testament about King David. It says King David was the firstborn king, but here's the problem. He wasn't the first one born. He was the youngest of his brothers, and he wasn't the first king. And that's what it means about Jesus here, that he's preeminent. He's the highest in rank. And it says there that he was with God in the beginning. Verse 16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. And just circle this in your mind. All things were created through him and for him. By who? By him. What are all things? Everything. All things means all things were created through him and for him. In verse 19, and for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him, this is what God did, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And so, yes, we can have peace with God, but here's what I want us to see today. When we see Jesus in the text of the Bible, we see God. When you come across Jesus in the Bible, we are seeing God. And when we see that, what we see is that God did for us what we could never do for ourselves. He did it. God did it for us. That is a gift that's received by faith. So yes, to learn about God, we have to seek him with all our heart. But to be saved, we receive that gift by faith because it's a gift of God. Now, we're in this post-Easter celebration period. Jesus, after he resurrected, he was on the earth for 40 days. So as we celebrate Easter, we're kind of in that period of time. And there's a story from John chapter 20 that I want to share with you guys as we begin to wrap up here today. It's an incredible story. Jesus appears to the disciples. Now, at this time, there was a guy named Thomas that was not with him. Okay. Now, this is where you get the story of doubting Thomas. Anybody ever heard this, you know, about doubting Thomas? This is where you get that from John chapter 20. And I just want to read us through that text. And this is where I want us to just spend a few minutes and think about God. Now, remember, when we see Jesus in the text, it is God. That's who we see in the text. We're seeing God. And we took a few minutes to help us understand that. Now, with that in mind, understanding that about who God is, the God of the Bible, keep that in mind as we read this. Verse 24. Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, they went and told him, we've seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Now, he goes on to say, 8 days later. Let's read that together out loud. 8 days later. Okay, now if I'm Thomas, I'm spun out here. I'm like, man, this is ridiculous. Come on. I mean, if he is who he said he is, why are we waiting 8 days? Why wouldn't he just show up? And Jesus, when he showed up, he didn't rebuke him for his lack of faith, right? Let's read what happened. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. And this is what he said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Meaning they're the same God. Like Jesus is Lord and he is God. Now here's what I want to encourage you with, and while we read out 8 days later out loud together. Because waiting on God's timing can be really hard. It's hard for every single one of us in this room. Right? It's tough to wait on God's timing. But God's timing is always perfect, and he's always right on time. Always. And when he showed up, he didn't rebuke him for his lack of faith. But what did he say to him? He said, peace be with you. I don't know if you guys know this, but you have hard jobs. You have stressful jobs. You have to perform every week. Got to get sponsor stuff done. Got to perform on pit road in the car. There's a lot going on. On top of that, you got life. Worrying about health and stuff at home and taking care of your family and your kids and all this other stuff we got going on. And I believe the same thing that God said to Thomas, he would say to us in the middle of those waiting moments. Peace be with you. And no matter where you're at today, I believe God wants us to walk in his peace. When we leave here, when we go to compete, it don't matter if you're on the front row or the back row. It doesn't matter. God's peace is the same for each one of us. And we can just choose that right now if we want to. God, I'm going to walk in your peace today. Now, looking back, If we're looking now where we are now, we see the story of Thomas. We go, man, you should have been having all kind of faith on day three. You should have day four, right? It's easier said than done later. And so here's what I want to encourage you with today. If you're in a day four moment and God hasn't showed up yet, peace be with you. Because all my life, even on day four, he's been faithful. Day four, five. And when he shows up, we're like, God, let's fix all this. Instead of fixing, God wants to be with you. He wants to be with you on the track when you go home and all those different places. So know that God is with you today. And no matter what the day brings, peace be with you. Who said it? God said it. That's what God said. And so if we're in a day for a moment, I want us to just close with that thought. All my life, you've been faithful. Even when I had turned my back on you, Lord, whenever it was, when I was chasing things of the world, you were still faithful all my life. So the way I want us to close, I'd love for us to just stand together. I'm going to close this in prayer. We're just going to sing that chorus together. Just that one chorus. All my life, you've been faithful.
So you have been faithful. It's all my life you have been so.
day, every moment, Lord. Even when we're not faithful, even when we have chased things of the world, God, you've been faithful every step of the way. And so, God, I want to pray for anyone in this room, God, if they're in a day four moment where you haven't shown up yet, God, just remind them today that your Spirit is with them, that you are faithful. And God, that you desire for every one of us to walk in your peace that the world cannot take away. I pray that, God, for your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys. Have an awesome day. I think our team is back here if you have something for the offering. We'll see you guys out there on Pit Road. God bless you.